The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, in verses 39 to 43, will be in there this morning. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 39 and following. Amen. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hung railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning, the King James Bible. Father, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit this morning. Loosen my lips, give me the liberty to preach, Father. We pray that we would hear from thee today, because if I was to say anything, if we hear from me today, it'd be nothing, it'd be vanity, it'd be worthless, Father. Father, just hide me behind that cross of Calvary, Father. I pray the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified this very day. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, what I want us to notice from our passage that we just read is notice the three crosses that were represented at the crucifixion of Christ. We read in the Gospel of John in chapter 19. It tells us in John chapter 19 about the crucifixion and the crosses. It says in verse 17, in John 19, verse 17, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." So we want to see then, we have Jesus in the midst, and we have the two others that were crucified on him on either side. We have three crosses this morning, and we're going to look at three crosses that are represented there at the crucifixion. Number one, we want to look at the cross of rejection, the cross of rejection. Look it with me back in Luke 23, verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hung railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." The cross of rejection. We want to notice some things this morning. Number one, on that cross of rejection, we want to notice there's no omission of guilt. There's no omission of guilt. This thief, this malefactor, did not confess of his guilt, amen. He was not interested in admitting that he was wrong, amen. He was just mad that he got caught, amen, like so many people are today. They get mad that they get caught. They're not sorry, amen. They're sorry that they get caught, amen. In other words, on this cross of rejection, amen, which so many hang on today in this world, the majority of people in this world hang on that cross of rejection, amen. He had worldly sorrow, like so many people do today. In other words, he's not sorry. He wasn't sorry, and most people aren't sorry that each and every day that they offend God and sin against God. No, this thief, like so many people today, are sorry because they've gotten caught in their sin. The Bible tells us about the end result of worldly sorrow. It says, "The sorrow of the world worketh death." The sorrow of the world worketh death. We're told in the book of James, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Here we see this morning is a man hanging on a cross who is basically reaping what he has sowed. He doesn't like it. You see, all this man's life, he did nothing but sow to his flesh, amen. Sow to his sinful flesh with no concern with God. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, we're told, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." This man was reaping corruption. This man was reaping death for his sin. Not only we want to notice that there was no admission of guilt on this cross, but we want to notice his skepticism or his unbelief this morning. His skepticism or unbelief, like so many today that hang on that cross of rejection, that will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have skepticism and unbelief. In verse 39 of Luke 23, we read, this malefactor or this thief said, if thou be Christ, if thou be Christ. See, this is devil talk, devil talk. We know that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus is baptized, amen, in verse 3, he's led of the into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil said to Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness, he said, if, there's that if again, that doubt, that unbelief, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Again, we see in the Garden of Eden, the devil said to Eve regarding to what God had said to her and Adam. He said in Genesis chapter 3, the devil said, yea, hath God said? In other words, casting doubt upon the word of God. Wherever you and I find skepticism and doubt about what God has said, you will find the devil behind it. And this is in the case of salvation. You know, the devil is the author of confusion. He wants people to doubt the word of God, especially when it has to do with salvation and how to be saved. The reason for this is so people will end up in the lake of fire. He'd rather have people believe some nonsense that will send them to hell. You know, what comes to mind is what happened this week. 39 people committed suicide because they believed the devil. They believed a lie. They believed nonsense. They committed suicide this week. They thought that they were going to heaven. Amen. They believed a lie. Satan's behind the lie. Amen. The Bible says about people who will not receive the truth, and that's the bulk of people living today. The Bible says about these people, just like these people that committed suicide. Amen. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. If a person will not receive the truth, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, if they will not receive the truth, then God will send them a strong delusion and they should believe a lie. That's what's happening today. God has sent people today a strong delusion, amen, so that they'll believe a lie. These people that committed suicide this past week, these 39 people, had to be deluded, amen. Had to be deluded to do what they did, amen. They certainly weren't reading the Bible. The Bible tells us who the father of lies is. It's Satan. He said to the religious crowd, there is no truth in him. He called this religious crowd of his day. Jesus said, ye are your father the devil. And he went on to talk about the devil. Satan, he says, there is no truth in him, in the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The Bible tells us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, how you and I are to come to God. He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. One must come believing, not with unbelief or doubt, or with skepticism. Amen. Because if you do that, the Bible tells us the eternal destiny of the unbeliever is the lake of fire. Look at what it says in Revelations 21. In Revelations 21, verse number 8, he tells us about the occupants, the Apostle John in the lake of fire. Amen. In Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving, this is what we're talking about. The unbelieving is listed now. And the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. That's the eternal resting place for all those who will not receive the truth, who will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. Those poor, deluded people, those 39 people right now are burning in hell because they would not receive the truth. So we see on the cross of rejection, we have, there's no admission of guilt, there's no sorrow for sinning against the Lord. Amen. There's nothing but skepticism and unbelief. Also on that cross of rejection, we want to notice the lack of humility. The lack of humility. Going back to Luke chapter 23. You would think if you and I were in this particular situation that we'd be very humble. Here we are, just about to face death, crucified, nailed to a cross. Amen. But look at this malefactor. Going back to Luke chapter 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him. He railed on Jesus. He railed on Jesus, this thief. What is, if you look up the word rail, it means to utter reproaches, to scoff, to use insolent and reproachful language. He probably cussed at Jesus. He swore at Jesus. He called him all kinds of names, amen. That's what he did. You know, if you think about it, isn't this what happens when you and I try to witness sometimes to someone about being saved? To those that are hanging on that cross of rejection, and we're trying to tell them how they can come down off of that cross of rejection, amen, and get saved. And they cuss and they scoff at you and they call you all kinds of names, amen. Nothing's changed. This thief still had some pride in him to act the way he did towards the only one that could save him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us pride goeth before destruction. Pride, this is why a lot of people are in hell today, because of their pride, amen. They're in hell today because they would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. What this man needed was saving grace. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Like I said, pride is what sends people to hell. In other words, they say, I don't need God. I can save myself. I can do something. Amen. That's what the people today are hanging on that cross of rejection. They don't need Christ. Amen. They get the answer. They can save themselves, whatever it may be. Amen. Obviously, these people that killed themselves this past week, all 39 of them, amen, thought there was some other way besides the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. Amen. This thief that hung on this cross of rejection needed to turn to the Lord for mercy. Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. If you've been saved for any period of time, you know how merciful he is. Not only did he save you, but he puts up with a lot from us, amen. Well, we don't have as much mercy for our fellow human beings, amen. When someone does something to us, we want to innocently, you know, get rid of them, destroy them, amen. Psalm 103:17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. That thief had no fear of Jesus, had no fear of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that God saves us. God saves us, you and I, according to his mercy. Amen. Mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, the punishment, the sentence that you deserve. That's mercy. Amen. But this thief wasn't looking for mercy. Amen. Here he is hanging on that cross, railing on Jesus, calling him all kinds of names, cussing at him, swearing at him. Amen. Didn't come to terms of who he was. Amen. Rejected him. Instead, on the cross of rejection, hanged the unrepentant thief. He had no guilt or shame for what he had done. He had no belief in the Son of God, and he had no humility because of his predicament. So many today that we go by on the street today, or even in our own families, are hanging on that cross of rejection. Amen. I read something just recently. We've all heard of Norman Vincent Peale. He wrote that famous book, Positive Thinking, and so forth and so on. As far as I know, he wasn't a Christian. He basically talked about a lot of humanism and social mumbo-jumbo. But there's a famous, quote-unquote, religious man running it down, Robert Schuller, amen, who has that, I know he's on TV, and he has that great crystal cathedral. In fact, he was sitting with the president's wife at the State of the Union address. But he said, how we got the crowd, one time, Norman Vincent Peale said, don't mention the word sin or sinner, and you'll pack the house, amen. You'll pack the house, amen. That's the problem today. People on that cross of rejection don't want to admit they're a sinner, amen. Because that's the first step in you and I or anyone getting saved. We had to recognize that we were a sinner before God. The cross of rejection. Ever since this thief on that cross of rejection breathed his last breath, he has been burning in hell all along with all the other skeptics. But you know the only difference now is that thief and everybody else that was a skeptic is a believer now. They're a believer. They're a believer. Amen. Just like that rich man. Remember the rich man that died in Luke 16? Amen. He was a skeptic. Luke 16. Turn there for a moment. I want to point something out to you. Luke chapter 16. He was a skeptic. He was an unbeliever. But he gets down there now. He gets down there in Luke chapter 16. He's a believer now, believe me. Verse 27 in Luke 16. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Amen. This rich man knew. He was a believer. This thief on the cross, if he could stand before you and I today, or if he could be out, if he could get out of where he was, he'd be on a street corner preaching his heart out, amen, and telling people, amen, what's to come if they continue to hang on that cross of rejection, amen. You can only hang on that cross of rejection for so long, amen, and then God's coming and your life is over, amen, and it's going to be too late. The cross of rejection. The second cross we want to look at this morning in Luke chapter 23 is the cross of reception. The cross of reception. Luke chapter 23, verse 40. Luke chapter 23, the cross of reception. Verse 40, Luke 23. But the other, talking about the other malefactor, the other thief that was there with Jesus. But the other answering rebuked him. He rebuked the other thief that railed on Jesus, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? On that cross of rejection, number one, we want to notice, he feared God. He feared God. He says, Dost not thou fear God? Amen. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. This thief had a little bit of wisdom because he feared God. If you go through the book of Proverbs, the fear of God, amen, is not only the beginning of wisdom, it's the beginning of knowledge. Amen. The fear of the Lord will give you knowledge and you'll depart from evil. This this thief that hung on this cross of reception knew that God was in control of his destiny, where he was going to end up. He feared God. He knew that God was the judge of all things that he had done in his life. Amen. He also realized that he was a condemned man with no earthly way out. He says in verse 40 to that other thief, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. Amen. He knew that he was a condemned man. Amen. There was no way that his crime was going to be wiped off the books, or his execution was going to be stayed, or he was going to be pardoned in any way. He knew that he was a condemned man. He knew that he was in a desperate situation. Amen. And look at what else he does. He acknowledges his sin. He acknowledges his sin. Verse 41, he says, and we indeed justly, justly. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is the first step in someone getting saved. They must at first admit that they are a sinner, because if that person doesn't admit they're a sinner, then why do they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? A person first needs to see self as a sinner, amen, to get saved. That's why the Pharisees, during the time of Jesus, would not repent and submit to the baptism repentance under the ministry of John the Baptist, because they were trusting in their physical seed, being the physical seed of Abraham, to get them into heaven, amen. And I'll tell you what, we still have the religion of the Pharisees around today. We came by it just coming down here, this big Catholic church down here. Religion of the Pharisees, amen. Don't need to receive Christ, don't need to repent, amen. Self-righteous, trusting in something else. Being self-righteous isn't, people call you and I as Christians self-righteous. Self-righteous is trusting in yourself to be right. We're not doing that. We're trusting in Jesus Christ to be right. Amen. That's what makes you and I right, and don't you ever forget it. Amen. I pray none of us will ever get on our high horse and think we're right, because we're 100% wrong, just like this thief on the cross, and the only thing that makes you and I right is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because our righteousness, as the Bible tells us, are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Amen. Self-righteousness. This thief recognized he was a sinner. He got what he deserved. Amen. He acknowledged he deserved his sentence. He says in verse 41, "We received the due reward of our deeds." Unlike the other thief, he clearly knew that he had reaped what he had sown. The chickens had finally come home to roost, amen. He said, "I'm guilty for what I've done. I take full responsibility and deserve whatever sentence I get. I deserve to be in this predicament." He acknowledged that he deserved his death sentence. He was sorry for his sin, not that he got caught, like the other thief. He didn't have worldly sorrow, but because he had sinned against God. He offended God. The Bible tells us about godly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Also, he acknowledged that Jesus did not deserve this death sentence. He says in verse 41, "But this man has done nothing amiss." He realized and acknowledged the sinlessness of that man in the middle. Amen. He says, "This man, Jesus, does not deserve to be up here. We do, but he doesn't." He saw that. The other thief could care less on the cross of rejection. On the cross of rejection, all he was trying to do was trying to get out of his sin, try to get off that cross any way he could. He didn't care, amen. But this other thief on the cross of reception recognized the predicament he was, recognized the only way out was through that man in the middle. Concerning himself, this thief on the cross of reception knew and admitted he was a sinner. He acknowledged and admitted that he deserved a sentence of death. And he acknowledged and realized the sinlessness of the man next to him in the middle. What we see here very clearly are the steps of someone getting saved, the plan of salvation. There was only one last thing for this man to do. And praise the Lord, he did it. He turned to the center cross, the third cross, the cross of redemption we're going to look at in just a moment. And in verse number 42, he turned to Jesus, and he said unto Jesus, it says, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He said, "Lord, remember me." Very important. The thief calling Jesus Lord is very important. I can't stress it enough, because the Lord is a title of deity. He called him Lord, amen, because he knew that that was the Son of God. He knew that that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said unto Jesus, remember me. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. It's a title of deity. And what's interesting is all your modern Bibles, all those modern perversion Bibles, amen, they remove the word Lord. They take it out completely. And what they've done in essence is they've removed the dying thief's saving confession. Instead of going to paradise, these new Bibles, amen, by taking the word out, Lord out, this thief is in hell. Well, he's in hell right now, but he's not, amen, because he said, Lord, remember me. He called him Lord. The Bible tells us, does it not? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called upon the only one that could get him out of that predicament. But first he had to come humbly. He had to believe, first of all, that he was the Son of God. He came humbly to him. Said, I sinned against you, God. I deserved everything that I'm getting right now. Please have mercy on me. Remember me. Remember me. He realized that the man in the middle was sinless. The only one that could save him, because he was sinless. And he asked him to remember me. To remember him. See, unlike the other thief on the cross of rejection, the thief on the cross of reception had no doubt who Jesus was. Had no doubt. He came to Jesus humbly, admitting his sin, accepting his sentence of death, and crying out to God for his mercy. And the thief believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And as a result of doing that, we are told in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So far we've looked at the cross of rejection, the cross of reception, and finally, we want to look at that cross in the middle, the cross of redemption, the cross of redemption. You know, the word redeemed means to buy back. Jesus buys back from the devil all those who call upon his name. Before you and I did that, we were possession. We were the devil's possession. Amen. But Jesus buys us back. He redeems us. The Bible tells us concerning the Jesus' redeeming work on the cross, Romans chapter 3, verse 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified, made right freely. There was nothing that you and I had to do. There was nothing that that thief on that cross of reception had to do. He just had to turn, amen, and ask Jesus to save him, to remember him, when he came into his kingdom, amen. That's all it took. It was free. It was a gift of God. It's of grace, amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law. The law was given to show you and I that we were sinners. Because the Bible tells us without the law there wasn't any sin. So the law was given to show you and I that we were sinners, that we can't keep it, amen? That's why it was given. That all of us deserve the sentence of death, just like that thief on the cross. And of course, when we talk about death, we're not just talking about physical death. We know we all physically die. But more importantly, we're talking about spiritual death in a lake of fire. Separation from God for all eternity, amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Of course, this is another verse that the modern Bibles like to fool around with. They take out the word blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood, See, that's how God, that's how Jesus bought us back. You had to buy something back. Amen. What was used to buy us back wasn't money. Amen. Wasn't our works. Amen. Wasn't something our self-virtue or our morality. Amen. No, what God used to buy you and I back from the devil was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the purchase price to buy us back, to redeem us. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 tells us clearly again how we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So that thief that hung on that cross of reception knew when he turned to that cross in the middle, the cross of redemption, amen, he realized that he was sinless. In other words, Jesus was a lamb without blemish and without spot. Because if he had blemish and he had spot, amen, and he was just like any other man, amen, then what I'm doing here this morning and what you and I are doing as Christians is in vain, because he wouldn't have been able to be resurrected if he was a sinless man. Let's look at Jesus' response to the thief on the cross of reception. Luke 23, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You talk about good news? Where could you find any religion in the world that could tell you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? Do you think that church down there can tell you? That Catholic Church, amen? No. How about most Protestant churches today? No. Or any other religion for that matter? Show me one religion in this big, wide world of ours that will tell you for sure you're going to paradise, and all you have to do to go there is ask. Amen. You won't find a one. There isn't any. Only Bible Christianity can make that promise, because it's based on the man on the third cross, the cross of redemption. Bible Christianity is the only one that can make that promise, that can say to you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's the only Bible Christianity can tell you you're going to paradise. You're sure going to paradise, and the only thing you and I have to do is ask for it. That's all we had to do. Amen. Praise the Lord for the four of us today, amen, that are in this room this morning, that we were all on that cross of rejection. Amen. We all hung on that cross of rejection at one time or another in our lives. And maybe some of us even railed on Jesus for a time. Because we're told in some of the other Gospels that that thief on that cross of rejection for a time there, they said both thieves that were put up there had some things to say to Christ. But for some reason or another, that thief had a change of heart on that cross of rejection. Amen. Praise to God. That's what repentance is, to turn. To turn from sin and to turn to God. You're going north, you go south. Amen. But praise God. All of us at one time hung on that cross of rejection. Amen. We were trusting in something or somebody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. We were hoping to go to heaven. We weren't sure. Amen. But now we have 100% assurity that we're going to heaven because of the cross of redemption. Amen. The cross of redemption. We see three crosses this morning. Cross of rejection. That's where so many people are on today. The majority of the world is on that cross today and they don't even know it. Again, those poor folks, 39 of them that died this week, committed suicide, or on that cross of rejection. They trusted in some other way other than that cross of rejection to say redemption to save them, amen. They wouldn't receive the truth. They wouldn't receive the truth. So God gave them a lie, gave them a strong delusion. And again, as we look around today, in our world today, it's a deluded world. Because majority of people have refused to receive the truth. They're blinded. They're blinded by the God of this world. Amen. As they hang on that cross of rejection. But someday, just like that thief on that cross of rejection, breathed his last breath and he went to hell and he's there right now burning forever. So aren't they. We need to be, as hard as it is, and I know it's not easy, we need to be telling the world faithfully that they do have another option. That there exists today a cross of redemption out there. And all they need to turn is to that cross of redemption and to be bought back from the devil. Oh, today we're... I get a kick out of it, you know, as you listen to the news reports, especially on Friday on the news, you know, television news or wherever it may be, the radio, how Christians all over the world celebrated Good Friday. Christians all over the world celebrate. I didn't celebrate Good Friday. Amen. True Christians didn't celebrate Good Friday, but it's amazing. Most of the bulk of the world that hangs on that cross of rejection are called Christians, and they're not. Amen. How many people have been duped? You see all the decorations. I was out on Route 38 coming down by St. William's in Tewksbury. Big sign. He is risen. Amen. Boy, by all the trappings, amen. You think that, you would seem to think that they had the answers, amen. But of course they don't. They're still hanging on that cross of rejection, amen. As I close this morning, it's really important on which side of that cross of redemption that people hang today. Their eternity is counting on it. There's a cross on one side of rejection. There's a cross on the other side of reception. If they hang on that cross of rejection, they'll end up in the lake of fire. If they'll hang on that cross of reception, they'll end up in paradise for eternity. That's the message that we need to bring. That's the message that you and I as Christians that we need to tell. Look at the good news I just said. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's good news. And the good news, like I said, is there's no other religion in the world that can promise that. 100% sure that you'll be in paradise if you die. And all you have to do is ask for it. That's the message. Even though they don't want to hear, that's the message this morning. It hasn't changed for 2,000 years, amen, since Christ hung on that cross of redemption to buy us back from the devil. So we've seen this morning the cross of reception, the cross of rejection, the cross of reception, and the cross of redemption. Let's stand.